Yeah, indeed. Today I want to just share with you. I haven't got a long time, and I just want to try and be quick in what I'm doing. My name is Mark Liebert, and I work with Open Doors. And I'm just really grateful meeting Pastor Ray and being able to be invited just to share a bit about what Open Doors is doing and just share a little message with you today. And meeting Pastor Ray, I just love him. You know, he's someone first of all, when I first came here, I just felt at home. I felt this is like kind of like my house. I just felt really a warm place. I've been churches to churches, loads of different denominations. And it's nice when I just come to a place, you just feel at home all of a sudden, you know. So, and I met Pastor Ray, just has such a warm personality. I came to the coffee shop, loads of people were coming in and out, and I'm just grateful to be here and to be with you today. And if some of you have never, how many of you have heard of Open Doors? You've heard of Open Doors. Quite a lot of you heard of, fantastic. You've all heard of Open Doors, most of you. Well, Open Doors is you are also sponsoring the Barnabas Trust. We kind of doing the same sort of thing. We're out there with a persecuted church. And just to kind of see where we are at, just want to see if you can have an understanding of what's happening in the persecuted church in the world right now. So usually they have, there's something they call to measure how serious it is for Christians around the world to live. They are ranked in like the top 50. They've got a top 50 world watch list, which tells you the 50 worst places it is for a Christian to live on the planet. And we normally talk about the top 10 places on the planet, which is the worst places to live. Just get the video ready. Don't play it yet. How many of you could guess, just try and have a guess, what countries are in the top 10? Just shout it out if you can just have a guess what countries are in the top 10. Who? China, okay. Who? Pakistan, okay. North Korea, okay. Somalia, okay. Sudan, all right. Iran. Go on, give me three more. Afghanistan. Nigeria. Okay. One more. Russia. Okay. Right, I'm going to play the video and it's going to show you a little bit about what the top 10 is. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about how we get the top 10 and I'm going to get on with the message, okay?
There are countries where Christians live in fear, where churches are bombed and houses burned, where following Jesus means sacrificing jobs, security, family. There are countries where you must keep your faith secret, or it might get you killed. These are the countries of the Open Doors World Watch List, and here are the 10 countries where following Jesus costs the most. Number 10. India. Many extremists claim that to be Indian is to be Hindu. They want an India without religious minorities, and they are using violence to achieve it. Number 9. Iran. Iranian Christians must meet secretly. Being discovered could mean long sentences in appalling prisons. Number 8. Pakistan. Christians in Pakistan are considered second-class citizens. Innocent believers are falsely accused of blasphemy. Thousands of women are victims of kidnap and forced conversion. Number 7. Nigeria. Nigeria is the country where Christians face the most outright violence. Many Christians have been killed or driven from their homes. Number 6. Eritrea. More than 1,000 Christians are imprisoned for their faith in Eritrea. Some pastors have been locked up for over a decade without charge. Number 5. Yemen. Yemeni culture is tribal. Those who leave the tribal faith could be banished or even killed. Number 4. Libya. In this lawless land, Libyan Christians have to keep their faith secret, or risk punishment, arrest, or death. Number 3. Somalia. Islamist extremists consider Somali Christians high-value targets. So the tiny population of only a few hundred secret believers keep out of sight. Number 2, North Korea. There are around 400,000 Christians in North Korea. All of them must hide their faith. Discovery means exile, execution, or being worked to death in horrific labor camps. Number 1, Afghanistan. The Taliban takeover means that Afghanistan is the new number 1, the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. Many Christians have become refugees. Those who remain must keep their faith utterly secret. There are countries where Christians live in fear, but fear can lead to courage, and courage leads to hope. At least 360 million Christians around the world experience high levels of persecution and discrimination. But they have not given up. And for over 65 years, Open Doors has stood with them. Where Christians are persecuted, our global underground networks supply smuggled Bibles and Christian books, spiritual care, emergency food and aid, training and legal advice. Where Christians are free, we work with local churches to raise our voices in prayer, to speak truth to those in power, to strengthen our persecuted family around the world. Because there are countries where Christians have to stay silent, and there are countries where Christians can make a noise. But we are all connected. We are all family, and together we can help one another to follow Jesus, no matter the cost.
So as you can see, some of you were spot on. You knew roughly what church, what countries they were. Even we thought China, even for me, China would be up there as one of the number ones. But sometimes we don't always get the right information that comes out of China. But China is 17th in the world. And there are countries like Iraq that are still are quite up there as well. And how things are measured generally in the world when it comes to understanding how dangerous it is to be a Christian in these countries. They have two things. They have something they call the smash and the squeeze, and that's how it's measured. So the smash is when a country's being measured on the violence that's happening to Christians. That means being killed, churches being burnt down, beheaded, whatever it is. They are violent. And when they have these violence acts, we've got people on the ground in all of these countries, and they measure the violent acts, and they give it a score. And then they have the squeeze, which is about being part of a country. Even though I'm Christian, I may not be being killed for being a Christian, but I can't work, or I find it hard to be part of a system, or the families are rejecting you or ostracizing you, and you can't be part of a family anymore. And so when they add the scores up, you get this level of what countries are in what place. And Afghanistan is number one because now ISIS have taken back over, and the control of the Taliban, is so overwhelming that Afghanistan has shot up the ladder, and Christians fear for their life in that country. So today I want to share with you quickly. I've only got about 10 minutes or so just to share. And I just want to read from Acts chapter 14. I'm going to just jump down to verse 8. Acts chapter 14 from verse 8. I'll read a few verses there and just give you a little thought about what life seems like, and look at the persecuted church, from that point. So Acts chapter 14, verse 8. And it says this. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul observed him intently, and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leapt up and walked. Now, when the people saw what Paul has done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us and the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in the front of the city, brought an oxen and garlands to their gates, intended for sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things and living God, who made the heaven and the earth and sea and all that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all the nations to walk their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness in what he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and faithful seasons, filling our hearts with good and gladness." And with these sayings, they could scarcely retain the multitude from sacrificing to them. Then Jews and from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing he would be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day departed with Barnabas to Derbe. I'm going to stop there. Now, I want you just to, I'm just going to share something for about 10 minutes, and hopefully you can understand where I'm going. Now, I want you to understand, like, in the old church, where church was established, there was a lot of pressure on the church. Now, I used to read the book of Acts. I'm excited about the book of Acts. The book of Acts is something that is not just a storybook. This is the lives of people. And for me, as a Christian, we should be living this. This should be our standard, that we should be living on a place of walking in the supernatural, challenging systems, challenging cultures, and knowing that as a Christian, I should be counted. Not this wimpy little Christian that sits in the corner that can never have a voice. I should be a Christian that should stand up for Christ no matter what the cost. So today I kind of look and think there's something about what's happening in the Western world that we do not have courageous faith. We are not having the courageous faith like we are seeing in the rest of the world. And I'm saying, God, what is it? What's going on with us in this Western world? And for me, I've been looking, and I've spent most of my life in church. And I realize sometimes we have things so easy, so comfortable, that we don't know really what persecution means anymore. We don't really know what it is to know that your back is against the wall and you have to stand for Jesus. When I looked at this scripture, I could see that Paul was an apostle, and he came to a city. Before this, if I had time, we'd read the background of this text. But before he got to that city, he had left another city. He left Iconium, and they had almost stoned him there. He shared the gospel, and they almost stoned him, because he's going up against a system. You've got to think about this. The church was being birthed in a place where Judaism is the national religion for everyone. They believe in God the Father, one Father, but they don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They believe the Messiah is coming, but that's not him. So to have a group of people saying, actually, this was the Messiah, and this man Jesus is really come to liberate us, to empower us to do something great, they are saying, you guys blaspheme. And it could mean death. It actually meant, for the people that were blaspheming, it meant that they should be stoned. Stoned to death. Now, I've been working with Open Doors for about 5 months now. And there are people that are in the world that are dealing with this sort of persecution. Dealing with a deep depth of persecution. There was a story that I was told about this young girl that was in Nigeria. A young girl who actually had a group of friends, and they were in a WhatsApp group. They had their exams. She was 16 years old. Now, this story happened about 4 months ago. She was in Nigeria and she was in a WhatsApp group. They spoke to each other. They had their exams and they were told to talking to each other in the group saying, how did you get on with your exam? The girl said, oh, I did really good. Praise be to Jesus. 16 years old. The other boys in the group said, there's two boys in the group said, listen, I'm telling you, take down that statement. How dare you say that? That is blasphemy. Because where they were in the north of Nigeria, which is an Islamic state. She said, look, I cannot take down that statement because that is my truth. Jesus was the one that got me through my exams. And they warned her, take down that statement. She did not take down the statement. After school, these two boys, remember, these children are 16 years old. After school, they got her and they grabbed her. And then more Muslim guys came from around the community and they grabbed her and pulled her out of school. A whole mob followed her out of school and they got her and they put her against the wall and they picked up rocks and started to stone her. This was not 2000 years ago. This was not us being looking back in the past. I'm talking about 4 months ago in northern Nigeria. They picked up stones and started to stone her, and they stoned her until she died. 4 months ago, a 16-year-old over her exam saying, thank you, Jesus. And had courageous faith to say, I refuse to take back my statement. They didn't just stone her, they burnt her body. 4 months ago in Nigeria. There are stories upon stories upon stories about Christians who are standing up for God, who says, I refuse to move. I refuse. I've got courageous faith. There are pastors that I've met that are coming from Iraq. There are pastors that have their churches burnt down. We have a conference in September, on the 20th of September in Nottingham. We have a bishop coming from Iraq, and I've met him and I'm going to be looking after him while he comes here. They tell me a story about when he was there and they burnt down his church. The church is being depleted. People are running and he refused to leave Iraq. He has opportunities to go and he refused to leave. They sent him bullets in a letter clothed with blood, sent it through his door and told him, leave. And he refused to leave. Courageous faith. I'm saying to myself, I'm not pointing my fingers at nobody. I'm saying to myself, Mark, what would you do? If this was turning, if this country started to turn to this place where we are being oppressed through persecution, would I be able to stand like this? Could I have come to East Hill today and preach knowing that if I came to preach today, there's a chance that when I leave, someone's going to kill me if I preach today. Would I have still come? There's a difference of what we try to do now in this world, that to see that there is a countries around the world that are struggling for being a Christian. But here, we sit in church and we will moan, Pastor, where's the tea? Where's the coffee? Why are you giving us PG tips and never Yorkshire tea, Lord? Come on, Pastor. Where is the Wi-Fi code, Pastor? Where? You are persecuting us. We have no clue about what it means for persecution. And I sit here and I look at the old apostles. I look at the old church. And now I look around the world and I'm seeing pastors. I'm seeing people that are in churches living the same life. They're living a courageous faith. And we are enjoying ourselves. And sometimes we even forget. Now, what I love about this, I've been here, we've already spoken. You support Barnabas. Your church is conscious about what's going on about the persecution. But sometimes, even as an individual, even me, I forget. Like sometimes the persecuted church are there and I just forget the depth. But day in, day out, I live stories and I see people and I meet people. I meet families. I'm meeting parents of children that have disappeared, that have been stolen and robbed. We've heard of Boko Haram and we've heard of all these sort of things that's going on in Pakistan and in India, and their children that have been taken and snatched and you don't even know what happens to them. And parents refuse to bow their knee because we have to stand up for Christ. I'm here to challenge, just here to challenge us to say, hey, how do we remember that being a Christian in this world does not mean just beautiful songs? Does not just mean having such a great time and just a beautiful time. It's beautiful that we can have this. And trust me, I celebrate the fact of my freedom. I celebrate. And when I come to church, I'm not coming to church just to mark time. I don't want to come to church just to tick a box. I want to come to church to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to come to church, and when I lift up my hands, I know that the King has saved me. When I lift up my hands, I know that he's given me the liberty to do so. I can scream, I can shout, Jesus, and no one's going to arrest me. But let me tell you, the climate of this country is even changing for what you can and can't say as a Christian. I've worked in schools, and I'm working in schools, and I'm telling you, the climate is changing so desperately. There's places that publicly, there's things you cannot say. And not even because you have a vindictive mind or a heart, it's just you want to speak the Bible. There are places now in this country that they're being challenged for actually just speaking your belief. And when do we stand up and say, God, I will stand up and be who you want me to be and have courageous faith, because I'm not challenged or pressed in this way. I'm not challenged or pressed in any way, shape or form. I can go out and just have a great time. But let me tell you, more and more people are coming from around the world. We have more and more refugees in this country. More and more people that are fleeing from persecution. And there's some that they sit in your churches. They're in your communities. And we have to understand our mindset when it comes around persecution. I looked at what Paul did. In this text, Paul was stoned for his belief. They dragged him out of the city, just like that girl, and stoned her. They thought they killed him. Even though they did not kill him. Now think about this. I don't know about you. But if you were being stoned for preaching the gospel, imagine you got preached. In Wandsworth, you got stoned for preaching the gospel. And they dragged you to the middle of Wandsworth and they stoned you and they thought they killed you. Then you woke up and realized you didn't die. Are you going back to Wandsworth tomorrow to preach again? Beautiful. I will come with you. I will come with you. I'm telling you, I think I may have to think twice. I may have to maybe think five times, maybe. Do I go back? But there's something when you have a deep belief in Jesus, when you say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, when you have a different mentality about who Jesus is in your life, it frees you to be free. It gives you liberty to be able to speak. It gives you liberty to be able to act. I spoke into a prison up in Cambridge, Little Hay Prison. And I preached in this prison. I'm actually doing a baptism at the end of this month. With men that has given their, surrendered their life to Jesus. But I realized by going into a prison, teaching people to be free while you are in jail, teaching people to be free in their mind while they are incarcerated, because I've met so many Christians who've lived that life and they've been incarcerated, not because they did anything wrong, just because they stood up for Jesus. My time has gone. My challenge today to this church is just, God wants us to do something remarkable in this world. God wants Christians to stand up and be counted. God wants us to be at a place where fire burns in our hearts, where we are no longer just churchgoers, but that we are Christians on a mission. I love to hear what my sister's gone about and done. Like, you're challenging yourself to do more than just the norm. But we've got a mission field right around us. Mission fields on the estates, mission fields all around us. How do we challenge ourselves to do more? Because Jesus is challenging us to say, listen, in the depths of persecution, growth happens. When the church is oppressed, growth happens. So today, I won't go on any further. I'm at the back. I've got some stuff that I can give, some books that I have to share. I'm not even saying, listen, you need to give financially. You're already supporting Barnabas. But I have some things. If people want to look into what we're doing and send some support or want to be an activist. You want to actually say, listen, I want to get involved. I want to do something. I want to do something new with my life. You fill out a form and we can get you involved. We can get you to do something different. But today, my heart is to challenge the church and say, church, let's never relax too much. Let's know that persecution for us is around the corner. But we've got brothers and sisters living this life day in, day out. Pastors in jail that cannot get free. And their children that are in aid of saying, listen, please help me. We send aid, we send help. We have trauma centers around the world. We have places like, they was talking about the trauma centers, the lady that you said that he was going to come on Tuesday. It's important to come out and listen to some of these stories and what people are doing on the ground. There are people that are on the ground doing the work. Please, let's support what's going on. Because where we can't go, maybe your finances will go. Your prayers will go. We have one more thing. If you do not pray, if we do not stick to prayer, because sometimes I realize sometimes churches have got to a place where we just pray for the sake of praying. It's another thing to do in the week. Let's pray. But actually forgetting that prayer changes things. The spiritual activity in the heavenlies are changing things around the world. I'm talking to people that when they're saying that God has supernaturally got them out of jail and they know churches have been praying for them. People that have been healed supernaturally after being attacked by Taliban and so forth. Their lives are being changed and transformed. Please, let's pray. Let's get to a place of prayer. Let's get to that place of saying, God, let's storm heaven and know that there is activity going to be happening around the world on his behalf. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I'm just going to close here and pass back over to the pastor. I just want to just say a quick prayer on behalf of the persecuted church and pass on over. In Jesus' name, bow your heads. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for their hearts and their minds and what they are doing right now, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will just speak to hearts, Lord God. Set them on fire, Lord God. Let them be hungry and passionate about what they're trying to do next, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray right now as there are many more missions and organizations doing great stuff around the world. Lord, I pray that you just empower us. Give us the resources to do what we need to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, courageous faith. Courageous Christianity, a message, a word for our time. Thank you so much. And we please support, go and find out more, and we continue to build bridges with Brother Mark, who's working in London. Thank God for you. Let us sing our closing hymn right now, and let us close the service as we come to close with worship. Let's worship the Lord.